And I didn't know what Bill was singing, but it fits well with a message this morning. And isn't it that how God works? When God leads someone to do special music, and he leads me in a different place to speak about God's word. So turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 11 this morning. Romans chapters 9 to 11 are some of the most difficult passages for us to comprehend and think through. It's dealing with God's plan for Israel, and it wrestles with that whole election and foreknowledge and free will, and dealing with God's calling for Israel, and then God's calling for the Gentiles, and all that goes along with that. And we're not going to touch almost all of that this morning. But we're going to go to the very latter part, what Ron read this morning in the scripture reading, the end of Romans chapter 11. And in all honesty, there's not a person alive now or ever that has fully understood Romans chapters 9 to 11. We try to put God in our little box. We try to figure God out. We try to understand his mind. And folks, you and I will never fully understand the mind of God. We're going to talk about the indescribable wisdom of God. It's something you and I can never fully understand about God. Why and how did God call the Jews and set aside the Gentiles, and then flip that and call the Gentiles and set aside the Jews, and then eventually he brings us all into one body called the church, and for all of eternity we'll all be together, and it's hard for us to wrap our heads around it. But what Paul does at the end of chapter 11 of Romans, he wants us to stop and think and glorify God for who he is. We talked a little bit about this morning in the prayer service. We looked at Revelation chapter 1, and we looked at some of the amazing majesty of Jesus Christ. And you and I will never fully understand how big and how wonderful and how glorious Jesus Christ is. We talked about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in Sunday school, and now in Revelation or Romans chapter 11, starting in verse 33, let's read this again, and then we're going to pick it apart and try to put it back together again. It says this in Romans 11, verse 33, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall not be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Father, we will not exhaust these few verses. Lord, if anything, we may go away a little more confused about how glorious you are. But Lord, I trust that you would help us to see that you are so much bigger. You are so much more glorious. And the whole plan and the whole reason we exist today is for you. And so, Lord, if we can just catch a glimpse of what Paul said in this passage, we would be grateful. So, Lord, keep distractions away from us for right now. May we be able to hear from you and apply these things to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul reminds us here in verse 33 that man will never fully understand or comprehend the wisdom of God, what he does, how he does things. And he says there, oh, the depths. The word depths there has the idea of that which is vast or incomprehensible. It is something that is so deep that you and I will never be able to understand it. So if you have ever had somebody say, listen, I think I figured out this whole election thing. No, they haven't. I think I understand where God's at with this whole free will. If you think you've got it figured out, you better start studying again, because you'll never figure it out. Not this side of heaven. Somebody said that they are two parallel lines, and two parallel lines never meet. And one wise man said they will meet in eternity. We can't grasp the mind of God. I can't grasp why God saved me and why there are other people out there that aren't saved. Doesn't make sense, because I know me. I know I don't deserve salvation, but praise God, he saved me. And I hope you can all say the same thing, that there's no doubt in your mind, you know you're a child of God. You don't know why you're a child of God, but you know you are. You know he's good, you know he's great. And he says here, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. When we think about our minds trying to comprehend this book and trying to comprehend God, our minds can't fully do it. And even on the other side, when we get to heaven, we will not fully understand everything about God. We'll know much better. We'll see face to face. But we will not become omnipotent when we get to heaven. We will not become God. We won't even become angels. So if you hope that your loved ones are an angel, no, they're not angels. But God's given us a position better than the angels. What a blessing. But he talks about the depths of it. Why can't we fully understand God? Because it's just too big for our minds to comprehend. Just like if you were to say, listen, I want to plan to go to space one day, but I'm not wearing that space suit. You'll explode. Because your body can't handle the heights without a spacesuit. Try to go in a submarine and say, I don't want it to be pressurized. I'm claustrophobic. You can't go to the depths of the ocean. Your body will explode. And so too, if you ever think, I think I fully figured out God, guess what? If you ever figured out God, your brain would explode. You've seen those Jet commercials? I think it's Jet. Boom. That's what happens. We can't comprehend the majesty and the wisdom of God. And yet, if you're anything like me, I've learned how to put my God in my little box. You can't do that. When we put God in a box and we say, this is how God works, and this is the only way God works, and he doesn't work over here, he doesn't work over there, we've got a big problem. Because God works in ways that we have no idea what he's doing. Isaiah 55 reminds us of that, that my ways are higher than your ways. Have you ever been frustrated with what God's doing in your life? He doesn't make sense. And sometimes he irritates us because of what is going on, and he's doing this over here, and this doesn't make sense. I would never do that to my child, because I love my child. And yet God does it to you, or he does it to your child, or he does it to a loved one of yours, and we think, because I wouldn't have done it that way, and I love my family member or child or friend, then God must not love because he wouldn't have done that. And we have then gone into this realm where we've put this amazing God in this box and tried to figure him out. And Paul says, hold on a minute. You need to recognize that there is the depths of the riches, of the wisdom, and the knowledge of God. God is deep. It tells us that the Holy Spirit wants to help us understand the deep things of God. We'll never understand them all 100%. But you and I can't read this book apart from the work of the Holy Spirit ministering to us, filling us, as we saw in Sunday school, controlling us, where we're not going to understand God's word. He needs to be part of our lives to understand this book. It's a spiritual book. And yet many people, they read it and they say, I don't get it. And they put it aside and they say, I'll never get it. I can't understand it apart from God. Because it's the wisdom of God. And so when he talks here about the depths of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, wisdom is much different than knowledge. Now, God has both. God has knowledge because he knows all things. He is omniscient, a theological term which tells that God knows everything about everything. He's omniscient. You and I will never, ever be omniscient. We just, even in heaven, we will never be omniscient. We'll know a whole lot better than we know now, but we won't be omniscient. But knowledge is different than wisdom. Wisdom is being able to take the knowledge that we have and making a good decision with it. That's wisdom. Now, God has both. And God's wisdom and his knowledge are so deep and so good and so right in everything he does. So then whenever I question God, I need to stop and say, but God, you know better. When it comes to prayer, sometimes we pray, and sometimes we pray, and when we pray in a crowd, we pray to give other people information. You may not know have known that I had this situation happen this week, so let me, as I'm praying, let me tell everybody what happened. That's not what prayer's for, but we sometimes do that. Sometimes we pray to give God information as if he didn't know it. That's not what prayer's for either. Prayer, much of the basis of prayer is as we go before God, we do share our heart. And we do at times share what we would like him to do. But the end result needs to be what Jesus said. Nevertheless, not my will, but Lord, I want your will to be done. Because you're wise. You're all wise. You're all glorious. You have all knowledge. I can't see around the corner. I can't see the end result. I would like you to heal my loved one every time they're sick. That's not always God's plan. God has a bigger plan than mine. I don't understand what God is doing at times, and sometimes we get frustrated with him because my God's in my little box. And I take him out when I need him, and I put him back, and he's in this night. Everything works. My theology is nice and square, it's perfect, it fits well, and everything I understand about God is in that little box. And Paul says, you need to get rid of that box because that's not where God sits. God's wisdom is deep. Oh, the depths of the wisdom of God. When we think about, when I was in high school, you know, we had opportunities to take various classes. You know, I could take calculus if I wanted to. I said, who would want to do that? So I think I took business math or something. I could have taken physics or trigonometry or something. I'm like, who's ever going to use that? You know, it's just a waste of time. So I didn't do it. And now I kind of wish I had done it back then. But have you ever talked to somebody who knows so much? They are so smart that all you can sometimes nod your head. Like, you're talking about half an hour, and they're talking, and you're like, yeah, that's it. At the end, you're like, I don't know what I said. I have no clue. Imagine trying to talk to God. Remember Job? Job said, you know, I'm frustrated with all that's going on. He said, you know, I'd like to sit down. I'd like to take God to court. Because I don't think he could stand up to my questions. Because I've got some tough questions for God. And God said to him, Job, let's go to court. I go first. And then he asked him 77 questions. And Job said, I just had to put my hand on my mouth and say, I don't know. I don't know who you are. I thought I did. You're in my box. I thought I understood everything about you, and I don't understand a thing. And he said, I will worship you. I'll stop questioning you. I don't understand you, but I love you. And I will worship you, and I will trust you. I got to think, I looked up some things this week just about our bodies. Our bodies are so complex. Did you realize that there are 60,000 miles of blood vessels in your body? 60,000. You could circle the earth, I think, 2.5 times, something like that. With the blood vessels just in your body. Aren't you glad that God created or consulted with, you know, some people before he created our bodies? Because that's a pretty complex thing to do, right? 60,000 miles. There are 25 million new cells created in your body every second. 25 million new cells were just created. Like, well, where'd they go? Well, the good thing is there's a bunch of them dying every second too. They said we shed our entire outer skin every 2 to 4 weeks. Completely new every 2 to 4 weeks. We blink 10% of every day. No wonder you're so tired. You spend all day blinking. 10% of your day you're blinking. It's amazing. But God is omniscient. When God developed our bodies, he didn't consult anybody in the medical field. He said, do you think this is a good idea? He took some dust and he blew life into us and created us. And now man, every baby that is born, we ought to stop and just praise God for the miracle of birth. And yet people suppress that knowledge and don't want anything to do with God. When we think about how big God is, we talked about some of the amazing things about our universe this morning in the prayer time, about how big the earth is, and yet the largest star we know, I didn't have it written down here, but I think it was 480 quadrillion Earths could fit inside of the biggest star that we even know of. Aren't you glad God consulted an astronomer to make sure that all the things are going to work and that nothing's going to run in and bump into each other? You know, gorgeous weather out there today. We are 93 million miles away from the sun. Imagine if it was like 47 million miles away from the sun. It'd be pretty hot. But God knows all of it, and he didn't consult anybody. At creation, God spoke the world into existence. How did he know? Here's a deep thought for you. God has never thought. God doesn't think. Because thinking about something implies I'm not sure what the next step is. God doesn't think. God knows. He has all knowledge about everything. When I have to make a decision, I have to contemplate, should I do this? Should I do this? When I mess up, God never says, well, now what should I do? God knows. He knows everything about everything that ever can or will be. He knows. He doesn't have to think. You say, I'm not sure I can comprehend that. I know. I can't either. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, his decisions, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Who's counseled God? God says in the multitude of counselors there is safety. It's good when you're making a decision, it's good to ask other people for help. Godly people, people that will steer you in the right direction. That's good. God has never had to do that. God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they don't need anybody else. They know everything. They are completely self-sufficient. Although there are times that I give God some advice. But he doesn't need my advice. But we do it, don't we? Didn't Paul do it? God, I've got this thorn in the flesh here. Let me tell you, if you took this thorn in the flesh away, I could serve you better. So I'm begging you three times, would you please take this away? Because if you would do that, things would be better. And you don't seem to understand that. And God said, Paul, time out. I know what's best. My ways are better. My ways are higher. I've got a purpose. I've got a plan. And I just need you to trust me and live by faith. Do what I tell you to do. And he said, if you do that, I will let my power rest upon your life in a way that you can't ever understand and imagine. And Paul said this, okay, I'll accept your grace. Because your grace is better than my wisdom. I sometimes think I can figure life out sometimes better than God can, just like you do. And God says, no, you need to understand I'm God. The depth of the wisdom. Who has been his counselor? Nobody. So why do you and I try to be? Because God's sitting here in my little box. And if I would just keep him in that little box, and if he would do things my way, my life would be a whole lot better. So I think. And we need to let God out of that box and let God be God. Not just God over the world, God over what's going on in our government and what's going on in various parts of the world and what's going on with crime and let God be God there. No. I need to let God be God in my life. I need to let him have full control of me. I need to listen to his voice and do what he tells me to do. Surrender. But there are times when God tells me to do things that I don't want to do. I don't like to do. But if I would do like Paul and surrender to his will and say, God, but I will surrender and I will let the Spirit of God lead me and guide me, our life will be so much better. Now, it won't be better in the sense that everything's going to work out. Like, if you surrender to God and do things his way, it doesn't mean that this week you're going to go to work and the boss is going to say, guess what? I'm going to double your salary. I don't know why, but somewhere God just told me to double your salary. So is that okay with you? That's probably not going to happen. You may go to work and they may say, we have to make some cuts. He said, but God, I just told you I would do what you want me to do. I surrendered. I submitted to your plan. And I put all that in that little box. And now you're supposed to bless me. And God says, hold on, I will bless you. It's going to be in ways you can't fully understand. It's going to be bigger and deeper, but you can't grasp it. So stop putting me in the box. My ways are better. My ways are higher. I've got a purpose. I've got a plan. My wisdom is great. And if you and I would take this book and take this book seriously, we can't imagine what God would do with our lives. His plan is best. But sometimes we make excuses why we can't do this. Because I don't know about you, but my life gets kind of busy. Anybody else here busy? Anybody else here sometimes too busy for God? We sometimes get too busy. I would have my devotions every day if I wasn't so busy. If God would give me more time, I'd probably do that. How many hours a day do you have? No matter who you are, we all have the same amount of hours. 24 hours. We find time to do the things that we want to do. God says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Flip that around. Is where your heart is, that's where you're going to put your treasures. If something is important to you, there are people today who have a cause, maybe a loved one who has died because of a certain disease. And they want to find a cure so other people don't go through that. And where their heart is, they will donate to that cause, right? Because it's on their heart. And when you and I understand God better, and when you and I love him and love his church and love what he died for, that's where we invest our treasures, not just our finances, but our time, our talents, our gifts. We invest in what is important to us. And when you and I understand who God is, we'll invest in him. Just like we invest in other things in this world. You say, I don't have any money to invest in anything. I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about your time. We invest in things that are important. And guess what? When things take priority over God, we're saying that's more important than God. You say, no. It's just a conflict. We have to make a decision. When there's a conflict, we make a decision. And we will invest in what is most important to us. He says this. Or who hath, verse 35, who hath first given to him, and it shall not be recompensed to him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. He puts three little things here. You and I exist. The reason you're alive today is to bring glory to God. Now, I exist, and God put me in my family, and so I am to be a good husband And I'm existing to be a good father and to be a good pastor. And we all have different hats we wear. And we're to be good employees and we're to be good neighbors. And we all of those hats we wear, we ought to wear them well. And we ought to do our best in every little phase of our lives that we work. But in every one of those hats that we wear, if you were to lift it up underneath, it would say, all to the glory of God. Because in every hat you wear, it's to bring glory to God. I'm not to be a good citizen of the United States so that I may one day get the Medal of Freedom. I'm to be a good citizen of the United States because that brings glory to God. I'm to be a good husband because that brings glory to God. I'm to be a good neighbor because that brings glory to God. Notice he says there in verse 36, as Paul concludes this amazing section, he says this, for of him. God's plan. When God planned out what was going to happen for all of eternity. And really, God didn't have to plan it, did he? He just did it. He didn't have to plan it out. He knew it all from eternity past. He just set the plan in place. But of him, of God, be glory forever. His plan. Isaiah 40 verse 28 says this, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. Of him. His plan is to bring glory to him in everything we do. Every hat you wear, the purpose is to glorify God. So if you can't do what you're planning to do without bringing glory to God, don't do it. You say, well, I know this isn't really what God wants, and this isn't the best, but this is what I need to do. No, don't do it. I can't do it to bring glory to God. I shouldn't do it. Because that's why I'm here. That's why I exist. That's why I'm still alive on this earth, is to bring glory to God. For of him be glory forever. And then it says, and through him. Not just of him. Not just the plan that God has is for his glory. But how can a sinner like me, you, how can we bring glory to God? Isn't that impossible? Like, how could God use a dirty vessel like me? I bring glory to God through him. We talked in Sunday school about a glove. That's all we are. We're gloves. But if I let God fill me, he can work in me. Now, I've got to be a clean vessel. I can't have sin in my life. So I need to constantly be confessing sin and telling God I don't want to do what I said and did, and I want to be right, and I need to constantly be before God confessing, because we constantly sin. Of him and through him. Philippians 4 says this, I can do through him who strengthens me. I can do everything that God tells me in this book to do. Sometimes you say, I can't do what some of these other Christians do. I will never be a Christian. There are no super Christians. We have a super God. We're all nothing. But I can do all things that he wants me to do through his power, not on my own strength. Of him, through him, and to him. To him be glory forever. Amen. God says his purpose for my life is to him. Of him, it's his plan. Through him, it's his way. And for him, it's all about him. That's why we exist. We all exist, and we're all here to bring glory to him. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. See, how in the world can I eat or drink to the glory of God? Wrestle with that one a little bit. We struggle with that one. But Paul says, let's get down to your eating and drinking. Can you do that to the glory of God? Whatever you do. It doesn't matter. Every part of your life, everything you do, ask yourself, did that act bring glory to God? Try to be lazy at work and bring glory to God. You can't do it. God wants every part of my life to be about Him. Notice He says, for of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory on Sundays. Didn't say that? He doesn't want you to bring glory to Him on Sundays. No, He does, but not on Sundays only. That's the easy part, right? I can bring glory to God on Sundays. I know what I'm supposed to do on Sunday. I'm supposed to go to church on Sunday, so I'll bring glory to God on Sunday. And Monday, a bunch of ungodly people, and I can't help myself but act just like them. No, of Him, through Him, to Him, be glory on Mondays, on Tuesdays, on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so every single day of the week. But we make excuses why we can't. I can't serve. I can't get involved. I can't. And we tend to give God our leftovers. There was the old stories of people would send leftovers to missionaries. And it was almost to be a joke where people would actually use their tea bag once and then send to the missionaries because it was only used once, you can use it again. But you know, that those stories aren't just fables. They actually happen where people look at that as like, well, it's, you know, when I'm done with something, I'll give it to the cause of Christ. It's my leftover. And we do that with our time. We give God our leftover time. God, if I have leftover time, I will serve You. How much leftover time do you and I have? There's no leftover. We fill every moment of every day with things to do. And when we tell God we'll give Him our leftovers, guess what? He's not getting much of it. When we pay all our bills and say, God, if there's any money left over, there'll never be money left over, right? Which goes back to all about our faith, about trusting God. When I don't know how to trust God, but God says, listen, your life is all about bringing glory to Me. Bill sang that song about how God loves us and cares about us. And in the book of Mark 10, He talks about the sparrows. And if God knows every sparrow that falls, He knows every detail of your life, doesn't He? He cares about every detail of your life. He loves you. And God's plan is not out there to get you to just surrender to Him because He wants to make your life miserable this side of heaven. He wants you to understand and experience all that He is. And all He wants us to try to grasp the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Let me read one more verse to you. Jeremiah 9, verse 23 says this. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth Me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. You know, we could go to school for, I had a friend who went to school, I was out of school we graduated Bible college together, and then he went on, and then he went on, and he went on, and I don't know how many degrees he got behind his name. And that's nothing wrong with that. But we could spend a lifetime. We could have more degrees than anybody else in the world. But that doesn't impress God. Now, he may be thankful if we use that knowledge for him. Nothing wrong with that. And that's a good thing. The more we know, the more we can use that knowledge for God. But God says, nothing man does impresses me. God says in the book of Psalms, the legs of man don't impress me. How many millions upon millions of people watched the Super Bowl a couple weeks ago? God says, athletes don't impress me. You know, physicists don't impress me. Nothing impresses God except when you and I get to know him. When we take him out of that box and we let God have control of our lives. God says, in these things, I delight. Do we give God our leftovers? Do we get to the point where we say, God, I've got this small window of opportunity. I've got from 11 till now 12:05 every Sunday morning. I'll give you that. But that's as much as you're getting. See, after that, I'm kind of busy. I've got things to do. I don't have a whole lot of time to give you. And don't even ask me to come on Wednesday night because I work all week. Our giving, our service. Some of the most faithful and dedicated servants of our church are in their 70s and 80s. We need some millennials to come up and say, I'll serve, I'll help, I'll be involved, I'll do whatever God wants me to do. When we understand how big our God is and how glorious he is, we can't help but want to worship him forever, because that's why we're here. Think about every hat that you wear this week. And every time you put another hat on, before you put it on, pause and look underneath, and it will say, all to the glory of God. And if you will use every hat this week to bring glory to God, you will have a week of more joy and peace than you've ever experienced. Everything will not work out well for you. But God will give you this amazing satisfaction of knowing you did what he wanted. And he was pleased. He delighted in how we lived. Father, we thank you. Thank you so much that we are allowed to be called your children. We don't deserve that, Lord. We deserve, every one of us deserves right now to be in hell for all of eternity. And yet, in your goodness and your grace, you allow us to be your children. Lord, we will never fully understand the wisdom and the majesty and the glory of God, but Lord, help us to realize that in everything we do this week, that we should do it to bring glory to you. Lord, show us areas in our lives where we're giving you just the leftovers. Areas where we're not really fully giving you 100%. And Lord, help us to be a church that is on fire for you. Lord, may it start in our own individual hearts and spread rapidly, not just in this church, but through the community. May we see you do great things. Revive us again, dear Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Turn, if you would, to hymn number 202. That song, tremendous song, Amazing Grace, how sweet a sound, that saved a wretch like me. Never forget that you were but a wretch before God saved you. Let's stand as we sing hymn 202, Amazing Grace.